Good evening. God bless you. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. I don't know if Carol mentioned this, but we will be having a fellowship here this Sunday, 10:30, in our home, if any of you would like to attend in the flesh. And certainly all of you can attend virtually. But we look forward to having you in our home this Sunday. The focal point of this period of time in which we live is the church. The church is the great mystery revealed. Our administration, this period of time, is called the administration of the mystery. And the mystery is all about the one body. Now, when we use the terminology one body, I believe everybody listening right now would understand that that is a figure of speech. It's comparing the church to the human body. And there's other figures of speech that help us to understand the church, the temple. Is another one. God's tilled field is another one. But these are all figures of speech that help us understand the spiritual reality that is the church. Because the church is a spiritual entity. It's a spiritual organization with Christ as the head, with every one of us being members in particular. And we're referred to as one new man collectively. We're one new man that God has brought together out of so many varied backgrounds to be his people. Now that we are part of the church, which of course comes via the new birth, God would have us to be involved in building the church or building the body of Christ. And that's certainly an apt figure when you say building the body, because I think that's something that increasingly people are familiar with, is what it takes to be in good health, to have fitness in their body, and to build their body. We have one of our sons who is a devoted bodybuilder, and those of you that know him can see the fruit of his labors, because he's cut and built and he's got abs and all of those things that come with building your body. Bodybuilders are very concerned about a couple of things. One is, of course, exercise, and the other one very evidently is nutrition. And these things come into play when it comes to building the body of Christ. God would have each one of us, as members in particular, be bodybuilders, that we are to contribute to the edifying, the edification of the church. 1 Corinthians 3 speaks of this very extensively. It's also the most extensive description of the believer's rewards in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 3 going into chapter 4, and the two are tied very closely together, that what you do in building the body of Christ is something that's directly tied into the rewards that you will receive at the Bema. And although our topic tonight is not rewards, you certainly can see that by reviewing 1 Corinthians chapter 3 all the way through chapter 4 in verse 5. But it says, we're going to open in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 3. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now, one of the things about Old English, King James English, is that the word "ye" is plural. It is second person plural, And then the word you is first person plural. Now, in our modern English, we don't make that distinction. When you say you, you could mean one person or you could mean a whole bunch of people. But here it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God collectively. In other words, this is talking about the believers. It's the believers together that make up the temple of God. Now, I know that many people have understood the temple of God to mean the human body, but that's not what it refers to. Certainly here, it's referring to the church, the temple of God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, the word defile here is the word corrupt or tear down. It's the opposite of building. The opposite of building is to tear down or to corrupt, to decay. If any man defiles the temple of God, it says him in King James, but it should be translated it or this work shall God destroy. Now, if you're not familiar with this chapter, on my website, muchword.com, there is a teaching series on the hope, and one of the topics is the believer's rewards, and I would encourage you to listen to that if you're not familiar with this. But it's not that him God will destroy. God's not going to destroy his people. We have eternal life. But this work, if any man defiles the temple of God, that work God shall destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Now, what is it to corrupt or defile the temple of God? It's defined earlier in this chapter. Look at verse 3. It says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men, or walk according to man, is the text. You might have that in your center reference. When believers remain carnal, the result will be envying, strife, and divisions. You know, the history of Christianity has been divisions, hasn't it? I mean, people splitting up and forming different denominations, different groups, and if you're not part of our group, you're not really with it, or you're not Christian. But that's defined as being carnal, and in the context, that is corrupting the temple of God. It's corrupting the body of Christ. It's tearing it down through envying, strife, and divisions. And sort of at the root of it is walking according to man, instead of according to the Word of God. But instead of being carnal, we should be spiritually minded, and we should be involved in building the church, certainly not in tearing it down. Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and that foundation being the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, I have laid the foundation, and another build thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. See, that's the foundation on which we're all built, the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Now, we are to build upon that foundation. And, you know, it's very profitable, very interesting for us to consider, well, how do you build? What is it that we're to build? Well, first, it starts with us as individuals. You know, there's one thing that each one of us is responsible for, and that's our own life and fellowship with God. Each one of us are responsible to build ourselves according to the Word of God. And the way that we do that is with the Word and also with the Spirit that God has given us. Remember, those are the two great categories of prophet that God has made available. And certainly building ourselves up, building the church, is profitable. Remember 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. And then 1 Corinthians 12:7 says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to do what? Profit with all. That's how we profit. That's how we get built up, is by the Word and by the Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is a fantastic chapter. It's where Paul calls together the elders from Ephesus, and he tells them this is the last time they're going to see him. But Acts chapter 20, look at what it says in verse 32. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to who? God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So here, with his last words, very significant last words to the elders in Ephesus, where this great outreach of God's word has sprung from, where the word of God moved in 2 years and 3 months over all of Asia. Paul gets the elders together and he says, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Now, the word of his grace is the word that pertains to the administration of grace, this age in which we currently live. Really, the way we would say it, now that it's been written down and it's in our Bibles, in Scripture, is we would say it, it's, "I commend you to the church epistles, to the word of his grace." You know, every one of the nine church epistles start with grace and end with grace. You know, it's the word of grace. You know, certainly God would have us to be profited by all Scripture, but specifically the word of his grace is the word that pertains to our administration now. And that's what Paul commended them towards. To the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So to build yourself up, you need to become strong in the word of grace. You need to apply yourself to the word of grace and learn the word of grace so that it's what you think of, what you feed upon. Look at Philippians chapter 4. See, the word is what we're to carry in our minds. It's what we're to feed our minds. And it's the word that builds us up in our minds. You know, it's not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Philippians chapter 4, there's a great section of Scripture. It says in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," you know, well, what's true? The word. "Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." You know, now that's quite a verse of Scripture when you stop and think about it. First of all, it's available in any and all situations to think this way. You might be in a dastardly negative situation, sense knowledge-wise, but it's still available to think on things that are true, that are honest, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are of good report, of any virtue and any praise. And that's what God would have us to dwell upon. It takes some discipline to stay put on God's word, particularly in the midst of this crooked and perverse world that we're living in. But it's what you feed your mind, and that's you're building yourself up in the renewed mind, and God would have us, each of us, to do that faithfully. Look at Galatians chapter 4. This is certainly one of the great topics throughout the church epistles, throughout the word of grace, is what we do with our minds, and what we're to think about, what we're to practice. Galatians chapter 4, it's a real terrific verse of scripture. It says in verse 19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be what? Formed in you." Now, this is not talking about the new birth, because Christ is already in you via the new birth. But this is addressed to the church, ones that are already born again, of course. But it's talking about getting Christ formed in your mind. And that's what Paul labored at. That's what he worked at. That's what he endeavored to help the church at Galatia and the other churches to establish, was so that they would become strong and that Christ would be formed in their habits, in their renewed mind. This is what God would have us to do. And each one of us, as we do it, are building the body one person's worth, yourself. You know, we're not necessarily responsible for what other people do. We can try to assist. We can try to help. But every one of us are responsible for our own lives. You know, where our minds go, what we practice, what we do, what we think about, what we feed on. And God would have us to build ourselves up in the renewed mind by being strong in the word of grace. And then the other resource, of course, we have is the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. See, all scripture is profitable, and the manifestation of the Spirit is profitable. That's how we built up. That's profit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says in verse 4, "He that speaks in a tongue," unknown is in italics, "but he that speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Now, when you speak in tongues, what part of you is being edified? Is it your physical body? If it was, some of us would have far different physiques, wouldn't you agree? No. "He that speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Does speaking in tongues edify your mind? No. So you don't understand what you're saying. But when you speak in tongues, it edifies you in the inner man. It builds you up in the Spirit. You know, the Spirit of God is perfect, that is given to you, but it needs to be exercised. It needs to be built up. And speaking in tongues is the means by which we do that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," or is perishing, you know, outward man getting older, you know, it's not going to last forever. "For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed," how? "Day by day." Now, how is it renewed day by day? By the speaking in tongues, like we just read. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. You know, it's available for each and every one of us to spend most of our waking hours speaking in tongues. You can be speaking in tongues right now as I'm teaching, and you're still hearing the word of God with your brain cells, But you can be speaking in tongues and edifying yourself in the inner man, building yourself up. You know, it's also available for us to forget to do it. Have you ever done that? I've gone for extended periods of time and just forgot about speaking in tongues. It's certainly not to, you know, any benefit to me or anything good, but we can neglect it. And it's such an easy, wonderful thing to do. And as you do, you get strong in the inner man. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his, what? Spirit. His Spirit in manifestation. By utilizing the Spirit, by speaking in tongues, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man. You know, again, God wants us to get strong spiritually. When you are born again of God's Spirit, you're still in the baby stages. But God would have us to grow up and to learn his word, to learn the scriptures and learn the word of God and practice it to the end that Christ is formed in our minds and our habit patterns, and that we utilize the Spirit of God so that we are built up in the inner man. And as we do that, then the body of Christ is being built one person's worth. Now, everybody that's listening to this teaching, we certainly can all do this, and as a result, the body of Christ is being built. But certainly, we are also to be involved in building each other up. Look at Romans chapter 14. You know, edifying the body of Christ. It's not just ourselves that we're to edify, although certainly that's very, very important. But we're also to edify each other. In Romans chapter 14, it says in verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? Peace. Now, if you read this in context, it's a very interesting chapter because it's talking about things that can come up in the body of Christ, that can come up between believers that might be divisive, that might cause strife, like we read about in Corinth, that was going on in Corinth. And certainly strife and division would be the opposite of things that make for peace. But here it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And then you read it in context, it's like people instead of arguing about what you eat or whether you celebrate certain days versus every day being the same and other things, you know, that in other words, that we strive for unity and for agreement on things and overlook forbear things that are less significant. So it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. You know, just stop and consider, you know, what can I do to edify my brother or sister? What can I do to edify my wife or my children or my fellow workers? What can I do to bless them? You know, there was a wonderful believer that I had association with many, many years ago who fell asleep, but in his memorial service, a man who worked very closely with him called him the great edifier. And it was really true when you knew him because he just was about edifying and blessing people. You'd always come away a little bit better, built up because of what he would say or do. And, you know, each one of us can be like that. Each one of us can be edifiers. We can be bodybuilders. Look at what it says in chapter 15, verse 1. It says, we then that are strong. You know, in the body of Christ, we are all equal. We are all members in particular. We're all have the same rights, privileges, and abilities. We all have been graced by God. We all have got all spiritual blessings. But there are varying degrees of spiritual strength, of spiritual maturity. There are babes in Christ, and there are mature believers in Christ. Here, it's encouraging, then, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. More mature believers ought to bear the infirmities of the weaker believers. Verse 2, it says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? Edification. You know, what does a younger, less mature believer need? Well, he needs help. He needs a stronger believer to help him for his good, to edification, you know, to share with him, you know, the blessings of Christ, to share with him about who he is and what he has and what he can do, and to commend believers for their contributions to the body of Christ. There's just so many ways and wonderful things that we can do to edify one another. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, please. You talk about edifying the body of Christ, you know we got to get to Ephesians. It's all throughout this wonderful epistle that makes known the mystery. But it says in verse 28 of Ephesians, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. You know, instead of stealing, work. You know, a lot of the reason that, you know, people are so miserable is just because they don't work. You know, people need to work. And really, you know, the stealing here is not, you know, just taking something from somebody that unwarranted, but it certainly would include, you know, people living and having food and drink and stuff and not working for it. You know, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, let him work. And then it says, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Look at that. You know, you might think corrupt communication. We all do at times. Something that doesn't build up, something that's negative, that decays, you know, that's corrupting. But God says, don't let it out of your mouth. You know, if it's up there, just don't let it out. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but instead of that, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And again, it gets back to building yourself up in that word of grace so that you're strong in grace, so that you have something to share. So that you can identify what is corrupt communication versus that which is gracious, that which will build up your brother and sister in Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 a little bit earlier, verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him which is the head, or may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So, you know, verse 29 says, speak that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace on the hearer. Here it says, speaking the truth in love. So it may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. As we grow up, we're being edified. We're being built up by speaking the truth in love. And then certainly a big part of edifying your brothers and sisters is by utilizing the Spirit of God in a believer's meeting. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 again. 1 Corinthians 14. It's a great chapter that deals with the utterance manifestations and their utilization in the church. You know, if you go through this one chapter, the word church is used 8 different times in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. 8 times in one chapter, that's a lot. But the other word that's used a lot is the word edify or edification. It's used 7 times. So really what this chapter, you can see by its repetitious use of those two words, what this chapter is about is the edification of the church. And it's all about the utterance manifestations, about speaking in tongues and its utilization in the church, interpretation of tongues and its proper utilization in the church, and prophecy and its proper utilization in the church. Because God would have all things in the church to be done decently and in order, and that all things be done unto edifying. Look at how it concludes. It's it says in verse, it says in verse 40, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. So this chapter sets things out as far as how tongues with interpretation and prophecy are to be done decently and in order in the church. In verse 3, it says, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. You know, I love these Wednesday fellowships, and you know, the one benefit that we have of using this kind of format, you know, where everybody can mute and unmute themselves and people can contribute instead of just one person teaching, is that we can have the manifestations. Earlier, we had the blessed privilege of hearing prophecy, didn't we? And when, you know, the believers prophesied tonight, when Mary and Morgan prophesied, they spoke unto us, unto men, unto believers, edification, exhortation, and comfort. And those words, there was no corrupt communication in that. There was no negativity, but it was all positive. It was a blessing. It built us up. It reminded us of the goodness of God and what He'd do for us. It reminded us of what we're to do and what we're to believe. Prophecy. And when the church gets together, God would have us to manifest words of prophecy to edification, exhortation, and comfort. In verse 5, it says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. Now, the context is in the church. Remember, you know, that's what this chapter is about, the edification of the church. When you just speak in tongues, it doesn't edify the church. It only edifies you. And thank God for that. It's very powerful. But it's for your private prayer life. But here it says, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather more and more that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive what? Edifying. You know, later on it says, if you just speak in tongues, you should just do it silently to yourself and to God. But when you're in the church, it must be interpreted so that the church may be edified. In verse 12, it says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And again, the context is the operation of these manifestations. So we seek to excel in the operation of these manifestations, which produce the edifying of the church. Verse 13, wherefore let him that speak in a tongue pray that he may interpret. They need to interpret so that the church will be edified. And you know how wonderful it is that we've been instructed in the Word of God, that we know how to operate these manifestations decently and in order according to 1 Corinthians 14, so that when we get together that we can hear these wonderful messages that build each of us up in the renewed mind according to God's will. And that is God's will, that we seek to the edifying of the church and that everybody be built up. To conclude tonight, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 again. Ephesians chapter 4. It says in verse 11, and he, and God, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, and then the text reads, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Different ministries given to perfect the saints. And the word perfecting means to fully equip the saints. So that each saint is equipped for the ministry that they have. Because it goes on to say, for the perfecting or the full equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And this word for is a different Greek word than the first word for, but it's so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. So each saint gets fully equipped so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. That just shows you every born again one has a ministry in the body of Christ. And then the result will be the edifying of the body of Christ. So as each one of us carry out what God would have us to do, then the result will be the building up of the body of Christ. And then it goes on till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, which will happen at the gathering together, that we henceforth be no more children. You know, the word children is babies. It would be no more babies, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's becoming more and more Christ-like. Christ being formed in you. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Look at it. It's the effectual working in the measure of every part. You know, every one of us playing a part in the edifying of the body of Christ. Seeing that yourself are built up, that you're built up in the word of grace, that you're built up by manifesting the Spirit, speaking much in tongues, and then by operating the manifestations to bless the church as the church gets together, as we read about in 1 Corinthians 14, and by speaking the truth in love, by building up our brothers and sisters and helping others to know so that they too can become part of this body of Christ. So what a tremendous verse to end with tonight. Verse 16, from whom, from Christ, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, every one of us, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And each one of us have a very important, significant part to play in the edifying of the body of Christ, because all of us are body builders. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to have spent this Wednesday evening in the Word, and Father, to have once again been able to open the book and particularly to see some of the Word of grace that governs our lives, and Father, that we can become strong in. Father, I pray for each person that avails themselves of this teaching, that we can each play our part in building up the body so that the body of Christ gets stronger and more powerful, more effectual in carrying out your business. And Father, may this continue all the way until Christ comes back, and Father, what a day that will be. So we are rejoicing and thankful to be a part of this great body in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.